Another great thing about that song, that special song that the ladies sang, you know, the Word of God changes lives. It says converting the soul. The Word of God changes lives. It's not meant as just something we read and ignore. It really does change our lives. We're looking at victorious Christian living. Last week we looked at, is it possible? Is it possible? And today we're going to look at the victorious Christian life, a life of love, a life of love. Matthew chapter 5, and we're going to read verse 48 to begin with. Matthew 5 and verse 48, the Bible says, "Be ye therefore perfect, even as your Father which is in heaven is perfect." Now, I told you last week that we were going to come back and look at this verse because that demand seems awfully, awfully high. And we want to look at a little bit of the context of this verse because obviously God the Father is absolutely holy. God the Son and God the Holy Spirit are absolutely holy. We, while we live in this flesh, we're never going to attain that level of holiness. But God does expect that we will be able to live a life of Christian victory, not a life underneath the bondage of the law, but a life of our love for God flowing out of our heart, allowing us to live for Him with great joy in our heart as we do what He would have us to do. So let's pray and we'll look at this passage of Scripture then. Father, I ask that you would give us strength. I'm grateful for every person that's out today. And Father, it's turning out actually to be a very good crowd for Memorial Day. And we're grateful for that, grateful for these people that wanted to be here in your house to hear the Word of God today. I pray that you would give me the ability to preach and make your Word very clear. And Father, I pray that you would stir hearts this morning. God, if there be someone here that's not saved, I pray that you would work to bring them to salvation. And Father, if there just be someone here that they're a Christian, but they're not living a victorious Christian life, I pray that you would stir them up and help them to see where that victory comes from. And God, may it we know that it's possible. We know that it's feasible. Help us to look at it and through you be able to attain it, and I pray for that and that strength today. We ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. So we look at this passage of Scripture, and we'll get the context of what is, "Be ye therefore perfect, even as your Father which is in heaven is perfect." It's a dangerous thing to single out a verse out of Scripture, remove it from its context, and then just use it. We need to know what the Bible's talking about. In verse 43, we start the passage here, and it says, verse 43 through 48, "Ye have heard that it hath been said, Thou shalt love thy neighbor and hate thine enemy. But I say unto you, love your enemies, bless them that curse you, do good to them that hate you, and pray for them which despitefully use you and persecute you." Now that's a little bit of a tall order, but it's a doable order. Now we look at verse 45, it says that ye may be the children of your Father. You getting the context here? And then it says this, "which is in heaven, for he maketh his sun to rise on the evil and on the good, and sendeth rain on the just and on the unjust. For if ye love them which love you, what reward have ye?" That's easy, isn't it? It's easy to love the people that love you. It's easy to talk nice to the people that talk nice to you. It's easy to be kind to those that are kind to you. But he says, "for that, what reward have ye?" And then he says this, "do not even the publicans the same." Do not even those mean tax collectors the same thing. Yeah, sure. Verse 47 says, "and if ye salute your brethren only, what do ye more than others?" You know, let me say this. If you come to church and you go around and you shake hands with the people that you like, the people that are your buddies, and you ignore the rest of the people, is that right? Is that a good thing to do? You know what? We ought to welcome everybody. We ought to be thoroughly trying to be friendly and outgoing and including more than just our best friends in our group. We need to go beyond ourselves. We need to think outside of ourselves. Yeah, sure, there's people that you, boy, they're your favorite person to talk about, talk to, talk about. Whoa. Well, they're your favorite person to talk to because you have a lot in common. Well, guess what? There's other people. And sometimes we go outside of ourselves and say, hey, how about getting to know the visitors? How about getting to know those others? See, we look at it, if you salute your brethren only, what do you more than others? Do not even the publicans so? And then verse 48, he says, in context, be ye therefore perfect, even as your Father which is in heaven is perfect. So we look at this. God loved with a perfect love. God says, look, he sends the sunshine. He doesn't put a dark cloud over a person just because that person isn't living right. Wouldn't that be a unique scenario? Sun shines on this person, dark cloud on this person, sun shines on this person, dark cloud over here. And when it rained on this person's yard, and the next three were dry, and then the next one got rained on. That would be a unique scenario, wouldn't it? God is good, honestly, God is good to everybody. Jesus Christ did not pick and choose who he would die for. He died for every single person, no matter who you were, no matter who the rest of the people in the world were, no matter what level of sin was in your life, Jesus Christ died for you. So God is saying, be ye therefore perfect as your Father in heaven is perfect, talking about a perfect love. We are to demonstrate that same love that Jesus Christ demonstrated, that God the Father demonstrated. We ought to be walking in that kind of a victorious Christian life. Can we do that? Yes. Is it easy? Not necessarily. But does God expect it? He absolutely expects it. So whether you like somebody or not, be kind to them. Whether somebody talks mean to you or not, you answer kindly. It doesn't mean we just roll over and let people beat us up. It doesn't mean that you don't defend your family. It doesn't mean those things. But it means doing right no matter what the scenario is. No matter what the case is, be ye perfect. God loved with a perfect love. Let's look at this. John 13. John chapter 13. John chapter 13, while you're turning there, I do want to encourage you, come back tonight. I'm going to preach a message tonight on something I've never heard a message, an entire message preached on. I've heard it mentioned. I've never heard an entire message preached on it. But John 13, verse 34 through 35. 13, verse 34 through 35. The Bible says, a new commandment I give unto you. This is Jesus Christ speaking. He's saying, I'm going to give you a new commandment, that ye love one another as I have loved you, that ye also love one another. By this shall all men know that ye are my disciples, if ye have love one to another. Now, God loved with a perfect love. Now, victorious Christian living is us coming outside of ourselves and showing love like God loved to everyone around us. Did God send Jesus Christ only to die for those that were of a certain level, or did he die for every person? Every person. You know what the Bible says? While we were yet what? Sinners, Christ died for who? Us. God demonstrated this perfect love in the fact that he gave his son. He did not do it out of response to our love for him. He did it out of love to us. And God says, I want you to love just as I have loved you. I want you to love others as I have loved you. That is the new commandment. He set up a level. God set the standard for perfect love. God demonstrated it thoroughly. I am glad that God demonstrated it. God tells us to have this kind of a perfect love. John chapter 3. John chapter 3. We're going to go here because a lot of times we get this question or this thought in our mind that Nicodemus had. God loved, honestly, God loved while he was hated. Do you know that Jesus Christ died for every person that denies that God even exists? There are atheists. that absolutely defy God and everything about Him, and Jesus Christ died for them too, and they need to be saved. You think of the most depraved sins on the face of the earth, and Jesus Christ took the sins of those people. Can you agree that God did love with a perfect love? Absolutely. Now, God then says, you need to have this perfect love. In John chapter 3 and verse 9, Nicodemus, Jesus is telling Nicodemus that you must be born again. Nicodemus answered in verse 9 and said unto him, how can these things be? He's looking at this, and I think that so often this is the response of Christian people when we are told by the Word of God, you know what? We need to be perfect as He is perfect. We need to live a victorious Christian life. We need to love like God loved us. And we come up with this thing that Nicodemus says, how can these things be? Nicodemus was thinking in a physical sense when Jesus Christ said to him, ye must be born again. Nicodemus's first thought was, how can this be? Why? Because he was thinking from a physical and fleshly perspective. When we think from a physical or fleshly perspective, we will look at it and say, how can I defeat that sin? You can't. From a physical perspective. You would look at it and say, how can I love that person that absolutely is mean to me every time I see them? How can I? You can't. Nicodemus said, how can I be born again? Physically, you can't. But this is not a physical thing we're talking about. We're talking about a spiritual thing which overcomes the physical. And so the answer is, this is a spiritual thing. Let's turn to John 17, 26. John 17 and verse 26. The Bible says, and I, John 17, verse 26, and I have declared unto them thy name, and will declare it, that the love wherewith thou hast loved me may be in them, and I in them. So what is Jesus Christ saying here? The Jesus Christ is saying, God, the love that you have loved me with, he says, I want that same love to be in them. And then he says this, and I in them. How do you get the love of Jesus? By having Jesus. When Jesus Christ dwells in you, when you get saved and you've honestly turned and trusted in the righteousness of Jesus Christ, when Jesus Christ is in you, then you can have that same love that He has. He'll give you the victory. Turn to Romans chapter 5 and verse 5. Romans chapter 5 and verse 5. It's a good thing to bring your Bible. We use it here. Try to follow along. The more that you follow along, the more quickly you'll be able to follow along. Romans chapter 5 and verse 5, the Bible says, and hope maketh not ashamed, because the love of God is shed abroad in our hearts by the Holy Ghost, which is given unto us. So in your flesh, do you have any chance of loving like God loved? There is not. In John, we looked at it and said, Jesus Christ wants the love to be in them, and He says, I will be in them. Here it says, the love of God was shed abroad in their hearts by the Holy Ghost. Where is the Holy Ghost when you get saved? He's in you. He is in you. So we turn to 1 John chapter 4. 1 John chapter 4. 1 John chapter 4 and verse 12, and then we'll read verse 16 through 19 in the same chapter. 1 John 4 and verse 12. The Bible says, no man hath seen God at any time. If we love one another, God dwelleth in us, and His love is perfected in us. Now remember, when you get saved, Jesus Christ, in the form of the Holy Spirit, God Himself comes to dwell in the believer. You know that to be true. So if we love one another, God dwelleth in us, and His love is perfected in us. This is that which is God said back there, be ye perfect, even as your Father which is in heaven is perfect. Verse 16, and we have known and believed the love that God hath to us. So how did this love get in them? They believed in the love that God had to us. What was that love? That love was Him sending Jesus Christ to be the Savior of mankind. God is love. And he that dwelleth in love dwelleth in God, and God in him. Herein is our love made perfect, that we may have boldness in the day of judgment, because as he is, so are we in this world. Now that sounds like victorious Christian living to me. As he is, so are we in this world. But what is it? Herein is our love made perfect. What? It comes off of verse 16. We have known and believed the love that God hath to us. God is love. He that dwelleth in love dwelleth in God, and God in him. When you get saved, you have Jesus Christ, you have the Holy Spirit in your heart, and you have the love of God in your heart. Now you turn around and demonstrate that same love to other people, and that is where the love of God is perfected in us, and our love is made perfect by living and loving through Jesus Christ. When we come to Judgment Day, what is that going to give us? It's right there. Boldness in the day of judgment, because as He is, so are we in the world. Grasp this. When we love God first and foremost, and we love our neighbor as ourself, God says, you will have boldness in the day of judgment. Why? Because if you keep those two commandments, really every other thing that God says to do falls under those two things. Love God and love your neighbor as yourself. If you actually do that, you will live a victorious Christian life. And we're going to demonstrate this just a little bit through some more scripture. Can we have perfect love? Let's go on verse 18 here in the same chapter. There is no fear in love, but perfect love casteth out fear, because fear hath torment. He that feareth is not made perfect in love. We love him because he first loved us. Our entire love is based upon the love of God. So what reaction does this give us? Turn to Romans chapter 8. Romans chapter 8 and verse 39. Romans 8. And verse 39, the Bible says, Romans 8, 39, neither height nor depth nor any other creature shall be able to separate us from the love of God, which is, look at this next phrase, in Christ Jesus our Lord. Are you getting the connection here? This entire love that God's talking about is based on the fact that Jesus Christ is in us. And we have a relationship with Him. And that relationship is a love relationship. Back to 1 John, don't turn there. But we love Him, why? Because He first loved us. Do you realize neither height nor depth, and the other things that are listed here, neither height nor depth, nor any other creature. We could go back up to verse 38, for I am persuaded that neither death nor life, nor angels, nor principalities, nor powers, nor things present, nor things to come, nor height, nor depth, nor any other creature shall be able to separate us from the love of God, which is in Christ Jesus. That is a love that is incomparable. That is a love that casteth out all fear. Do you know what? I have no fear of hell. Why? Because Jesus Christ saved me. He gave me His righteousness, and His love is unconditional. You know what? That ought to be the kind of love that every husband gives his wife. No wife should ever have a fear that the love of her husband will wane or fail, or that someday he'll just quit taking care of her, or that someday he'll walk out on her. Jesus Christ would never do that. No husband should ever fear and live in that fear that someday he'll come home and his wife will have left, or that she'll be with another man. They should not live in that fear. That's not a perfect love. No children should ever look at it and live in that fear that maybe mom and dad are going to abandon them, or mom and dad are just going to walk away from them. No child should live in that fear. But one thing we know is this: Jesus Christ loves with a perfect love, and that entire list of things, none of it can separate us from the love of Jesus Christ. So then we demonstrate that kind of love in our lives because we have an understanding of that love. How many of you understand? I'm not saying you comprehend completely the love of Jesus Christ. I believe it may be beyond comprehension. But how many of you are saved? You've experienced the love of Jesus Christ. You know that you're saved. You know that He'll never leave you nor forsake you. You know that no matter what, you stand before God in boldness on that day because He gave you His righteousness. So let's take that and live in that victory that He gives to us. So God loved with a perfect love. Secondly, God tells us to have this perfect love. Thirdly, true love for God and man will revolutionize our ability to walk victoriously. Why do Christians fail? Why do Christians battle with the flesh? Why do Christians not have the ability to walk that joyous Christian life, that life of victory that we looked at last week and said, is it possible? Why? There is a love problem. There is a love problem. That love problem is, God says, love not the world, neither the things that are in the world. We're supposed to love God. So when you're not walking with God, there's a reason for that. There's a love problem. When you look at a husband or a wife that decides to abandon their spouse, what would we say? There's a love problem. You know, love and again, I want to reiterate this fact. Love is not an emotion. Love is a choice. We choose to love. Yesterday, Christian and Kayleen stood on this platform and they vowed before God and many of you. How many of you were here yesterday? Most, a good share. They vowed, you heard it, right? To love one another till what? Till death do us part. Okay, now tell me something. You that have been married a long time, is every moment of every day, are they going to feel that emotion of love? No, throughout their life, they will experience moments of anger, moments of bitterness, moments of, there will be times, there will be moments where the love as an emotion is not going to be first and foremost. Love is a choice. Why will they stay married even through that moment of anger? Because of love as a choice. Because even though she'll burn his eggs, even though something will go wrong, something will set them all, why will they stay together? Because they really love one another. First off, because they love God, and secondly, because they love one another. And they choose to get rid of the anger in favor of the love. They choose to overcome the bitterness in favor of the love. That's what's going to keep it. Not the emotion, not the fast beating heart, not the kiss. It's going to be the love that keeps people together, that overcomes the love of God and the love of man. So it will revolutionize. Turn to Ephesians chapter 3. Ephesians chapter 3, verse 17 through 19. Ephesians 3, verse 17 through 19. Again, we see the source. that Christ may dwell in your hearts by faith, and that ye being rooted and grounded in what? Where'd the love come from? It came from Christ. See, when we have Christ, we have love. When we love Christ, then that love is going to manifest itself. It says that Christ may dwell in your hearts by faith, that ye being rooted and grounded in love may be able to comprehend with all saints what is the breadth and length and depth and height, and to know the love of Christ with passion which passeth knowledge. Now think about that love. We'll come back to the end of that verse in a minute. Think about that love for a minute. Since you've been saved, how many of you have sinned? Honestly, do we have any? We have people that haven't? Yeah, we've sinned, right? Does Jesus Christ still love us? You know, I honestly, if I were to take and line up every one of my sins from the day that I got saved until now, I would look at that and I would think, why in the world would Jesus Christ love me? If I took the last, Colleen and I have now been married 22, I hope, years. Don't have time to calculate right here. 22 years. So, it is 22, right? Yeah, she's looking at me. I got to check. 22 years. If you were to line up everything that I've done wrong against her in those 22 years and put them on one chalkboard or whatever, you know what you would do? You would look at it and say, why in the world would you stay with him? And I would say, we've had a good marriage. Okay? This, it's just the facts, because we sin. And her list on the chalkboard would be relatively small. But you know what? We look at it and we think, why? What causes that? It's the love of Christ that causes that. Now, to know, verse 19, to know the love of Christ, which passeth knowledge, it's beyond knowledge. It's uncomprehendable what he did, that ye might be filled with all the fullness of God. So what happens is this, when we grasp the love of Jesus Christ and what he actually did for us, why in the world would anyone want to sin against him? Why in the world would anyone want to stay in the flesh when they could walk in the Spirit? And we're looking at victorious Christian living. The key is a life of love. The key is a life for the Lord Jesus Christ. The question can be asked, does love banish sin? What would be the answer? Absolutely. What woman would want to sin against a husband that has demonstrated nothing but pure love toward her? What man would want to go out and sin against a wife who has been faithful and loyal and loving to him, that has given him children in this world? What man would do that? You say, what kind of man? Only a fleshly, wicked, carnal, ungodly, unloving man. It's definitely not love. Does love banish sin? Absolutely. Does love bring holiness? Absolutely. Absolutely. See, there is a love that is talked about in Christian circles that is not, that has no comprehension of the Bible. Oh, it's all about love. Love means we can go out and do what we want to do. No, love banishes sin. Well, you know, it's just all about, I love God, but I'm living in wickedness. You don't love God. Love banishes sin. Love produces holiness. This question, does love lead to victorious Christian living? The answer is absolutely and completely yes. Do you know what will give you victory over every sin? Love. The love of Jesus Christ will give you victory over every sin in your life. Let's look at this demonstrated. 1 Corinthians 15. 1 Corinthians chapter 15. See, love will revolutionize your life. 1 Corinthians 15. Remember, where does this love start? It starts with Jesus Christ first loved us. Right? Jesus Christ first loved us. We love him because he first loved us. Look at Paul here. This is what a change in the life of the Apostle Paul. Chapter 15, verse 9, Paul says this, "For I am the least of the apostles, and am not meet to be called an apostle, because I persecuted the church of God." Paul went about killing Christians. That was his goal. That was his life. That's what he lived for at that period of time. And then one day, on the road to Damascus, he understood, Jesus Christ loved me and died for me. Wow. Now, do you think that when Paul understood and grasped that he was then going to continue killing Christians? No. Something happened in his life, and he went from being a murderous killer of Christians to this, verse 10, "But by the grace of God, the provision of God," God being doing for him what he couldn't do for himself, "by the grace of God, I am what I am." Now, when Paul wrote this, would you say he was a pretty good Christian? Oh, yes. You would look at it and say, wow, what a model of a Christian he was. Would you say that Paul was living the victorious Christian life? I would. He says, "By the grace of God, I am what I am. And his grace, which was bestowed upon me, was not in vain." That love that Jesus Christ loved him and died for him, that he experienced, and he says, now I love God. And then it says this, "But I labored more abundantly than they all, yet not I, but the grace of God, which was with me." Paul says, God's love revolutionized my life. And now I want to do more than anybody for God, because I experienced his grace, because I experienced his provision, because I experienced his love, because I realized he died for me. It transforms you. True love for God and man will revolutionize our ability to walk victoriously. Turn to Romans 13. Romans chapter 13, verse 9 and 10. Romans chapter 13, verse 9 and 10. "For this, thou shalt not commit adultery." Okay, that's a commandment. "Thou shalt not kill. Thou shalt not steal. Thou shalt not bear false witness. Thou shalt not covet. And if there be any other commandment," what does that include? All 600 and something of them in the Bible, right? Okay, so all of these things, God says that I want have commanded. God says, let me sum them up for you in this. It is briefly comprehended in this, saying namely, thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself. Thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself. Now, let's just go through these a minute. Thou shalt not commit adultery. Okay? You've got a husband and wife. A neighbor is not going to come over and commit adultery with either that husband or the wife if he loves his neighbor. Right? Obviously, if the husband and wife love one another, they're never going to commit adultery. But also, this spreads out. You know what? If you love somebody, you're not even going to consider, you're not even going to think about, you're not even going to entertain the idea, not for a moment, of going and committing adultery with a woman who is married to another man. If you love that man, that wouldn't even cross your mind. So love your neighbor as yourself. Thou shalt not kill is the next one listed there. Thou shalt not kill. Now you look at it, if you're going to love people as Christ loved us, are you ever going to contemplate killing someone? No. You're just not going to. And it could go on still. If I love Adam, am I going to come over and take this nice watch that Adam has and steal it from him? No, he's going to give it to me. No. Because he loves me, right? No, but you look at it. Are all of these commandments summed up? They are. They are. And, you know, you could take each one of these. You could take the actual act, adultery, murder, stealing, bearing false witness. You could take the actual act of those things. Or you can take the mental act. See, this goes beyond. Jesus Christ didn't just leave it as, well, I haven't committed adultery with that person because I haven't actually done the act. Well, how about looking and lusting? How about ladies dressing in such a way that men will look and lust? It's sickening what goes on out in the world. You know, honestly, these tights things that people are wearing, and I'm going to say it again, it's nothing but nakedness. Oh yeah, sure, they're covered. You might as well be spray painted. It's the facts. We have to get real in this world. It's wrong. It's ungodly. And if you love your neighbor as yourself, you're not going to dress in such a way as to provoke somebody to take a second look. And men, even if they do, we still have the responsibility not to go looking. And it's about love. And it's about loving whether you're loved back or not. It's a matter of doing right. It's about loving Jesus Christ. You're not even going to think about killing. You're not going to speak hateful words. You're not going to kill somebody in the spirit with these things. Verse 10 says this, love worketh no ill to his neighbor. Therefore, love is what? The fulfilling of the law. Love is the fulfilling of the law. Wow. Do you get it? Where is victory? Victory is in love because love fulfills the law. You know what? If you love God, are you going to do everything possible to quit saying His name in vain? Absolutely. And you're going to eliminate, and you know, you got to lay it out plain. Eliminate the word gosh out of your language. It's just a substitute for God. Eliminate the word G out of your language. It's just a substitute for Jesus. We're working, you know, for years. You know, people, they got things that they say. Oh my word. It's a habit. And in our family, we are working on eliminating that. Because we've really come to the conclusion. Jesus Christ is who? The Word. And we are battling that because it was formed as a habit. And we're working to eliminate that. And all the, you know, all the last couple, 3 weeks, you said it. You said it. You said it. Why? Because you know what? I don't want to use any part of God's name in vain and just throw it out there. He is my Word. He gave me the Word, and the Word was made flesh and dwelt among us. The Word died for me. The Word should not be a swear word. It should not be used. You know, and we look at that. And honestly, if we want to take it and say, oh, you're getting a little nitty-gritty here. Really, if we say, oh my goodness, Jesus Christ is my goodness. You know, what we need to do is just eliminate that whole phraseology out of our lives and speak clearly and plainly, and we don't have to respond in those ways. And we look at it and we say, look, I love God, so I want to have victory over taking His name in vain. I love God. I don't want to do the things that God hates. I love God, and I love my neighbor. John 14, John 14. John 14:15-21. Jesus Christ says this, if ye love me, does it say do whatever you want? What does it say? If you love me, keep whose commandments? If you love me, keep my commandments. Verse 21 says, he that hath my commandments and keepeth them, he it is that loveth me, and he that loveth me shall be loved of my Father, and I will love him and will manifest myself to him. This is a love relationship with God. I will do right because I love him. And if I do wrong, I don't love him. Okay? Would anybody look at the wife that goes out and commits adultery, would you look at it and say, she loves her husband? You know where we are in such a sick spot in this world that the wife will go out and commit adultery and she will say, well, I still love him. What? And honestly, most of the world accepts that. And they would even say, well, she still loves him. No, she doesn't. She hates him. She's demonstrating hatred to her husband by going and committing this wicked, immoral act. There's no love in that. She's living, you know who she loves? She loves herself. She's living in a wicked, ungodly way, fulfilling the lust of her flesh, or vice versa, if it's the man. You would never say that. So why, when people absolutely reject the way that God tells them to live and they do whatever they want, but we still say, oh, but they love God in their heart. No, they don't. Love gives victory. Love is the fulfilling of the law. 1 John 5:1-4. The Bible says, whosoever believeth that Jesus is the Christ is born of God. And everyone that loveth him that begat, loveth him also that is begotten of him. So we love God and we love the brethren. Verse 2, by this we know that we love the children of God when we love God and keep his commandments. See, when we love God, we're going to keep the commandments of God, and that is then demonstrated as love to everybody else. Right? That's what it is. I love God, so I'm not going to steal. And that demonstrates itself. And I didn't take Lathan's nice blue shirt right off his back because I like it. So who would do that? People do it over tennis shoes. People get held up at gunpoint, take their shoes right off their feet. There's no love for God. But if a person loves God and says, I'm going to keep the commandment, thou shalt not steal, then that love is reflected out to that person. Boy, hey, those are nice shoes. I'm sure glad that you have those. There's a massive difference that takes place. So we keep his commandments. Verse 3 says this, for this is the love of God, that we keep his commandments, and his commandments are not grievous. Guess what? We keep his commandments and we like it. You've all seen, go take out the garbage. Here it is. I'll demonstrate. Son, go take out the garbage. Oh, I'm addicted to this thing. And son, go take out the garbage. Oh, and eventually they're forced to go do it. Do they love their mother or do they love themselves? They love themselves. They can't pull away from their addiction to go take out the garbage. We got to get this love right, folks. We got to demonstrate this from our children all the way up. This love has to be shown. It has to be demonstrated. And so often we love ourselves, whereas if we actually love God and we love one another, we're going to be giving of ourselves. We demonstrate that through our actions. We demonstrate it to the love of God. It's not grievous. It's not, oh yeah, I'm going to take out the garbage, but I don't like it. See, and that's how so many Christians are, so-called Christians, are with God. And their life is miserable because they want to live in the flesh. They love the things of the world. And when God says, you know what, this is right, and you know, some of them, out of pressure maybe from their peers or other Christians, they kind of conform, but it's not taking place in their heart. They're not doing it because they love God and want to keep His commandments. They're doing it because they've been pressured into it. And honestly, there's no difference in if you didn't do it. Yeah, go ahead and do it, but it's better. Love God and you will live victoriously. Love God and you will change your life. Love God and you will be transformed. Love God and the things of this world just fall away behind you. Love God and you will demonstrate real Christian living. For whatsoever is born of God overcometh the world, and this is the victory that overcometh the world, even our faith. Our final desire is living for Jesus Christ. We'll close with Philippians 1:21. Philippians chapter 1 and verse 21. The Bible says this, "For me to live is Christ, to die is gain." We come to this conclusion, I'm not living for me anymore. I'm living for Jesus Christ. And when I live for Jesus Christ, my relationship with you will be right. My relationship with my family will be right. My relationship with everybody will be right. I'll love my neighbor as myself. I'll love God with all my heart, soul, and mind. Because it starts, victorious Christian living is found in love. Real, real godly love. Jesus Christ died for you. Do you love Him? What do you need to take care of this morning? Let's stand to our feet.